Okay, we'll start with the Mishnah at the bottom of Kuf Amud Bet. Mishnah says, "Mocher makom lechaveiro lasod lo kever." Person who sells a place to make a, what we're going to see is a basically a cemetery or a graveyard of sorts. V'chein mekabel chaveiro lasod lo kever, or someone is contracted to make such a place. Then oseh tocho shel me'ara. Then there would be let's make a central cave, we'll call it a central cave that is Daladamot Al Shish. He has a cave that has in it 4 by 6 Amot. Upoteach Letocha, and then into that cave, then he's Poteach Letocha Shmona Kuchin. He adds it into it 8 catacombs. Shalosh Mikan. If you look on the on Kuf Aleph, Amud Aleph, the first picture that's in the Rashbam, you can see that on the right side you'll see a mi'ara, a cave. The cave there is 4 by 6 amot, right? 4 amot wide, 6 amot deep. And along those walls, you see all around that there are kuchin. These kuchin are these catacombs in which they buried the individuals. So they had these family plots or family graves. They were dug into the bedrock itself. Sometimes they did it here, you can say in Beit Guvrin locally, they did it into limestone, which was easier to carve into. But they also did it into harder rock, you see in Yerushalayim and other places, that they did, such a thing. They buried them and they had these, families had their names on it, and they, each, you know, corner, they had places for multiple burials in these, locations. So here you have a Marai, he has to provide for him a cave. 4 by 6 that has 8 of these catacombs coming off of it. The distribution of the catacombs is basically an amma wide, which we're going to see in a second, which is the kuchin arkan. Let me just do it. The kuchin, the catacombs themselves, arkan are ba'amot, are 4 amot deep, meaning that the depth of each catacomb is 4 amot. Vruman, their height. Now this is, there's a mistake in the Mishnah, it should be Shiv'a, right? Their height is 7 tvachim, right? Not Sheva Amot, but Shiv'a tvachim. It's 7 tvachim high, although it's interesting, I think the Rabbeinu Gershom has a Gersh, I think, of Arba'a tvachim. He has his 4, Romo Arba'a tvachim. He has it as 4 tvachim high, I don't know why our Mishnah says Shiv'a tvachim. V'rachban Shisha, and that they are 6 tvachim wide, which is an Amah, basically an Amah wide. So they are an Amah wide, 4 amot deep, and 7 tefachim high. Now, the purpose of these is obviously to bury a person. So what do you need the 4 amot for? So the Rashbam believes that the amet, the person who passes away, or an individual, is 3 amot. So why do you need 4 amot? He says, b'shvil aron, shumunach bo tzrich ama revi'it. Need the 4th ama because of the coffin in which he is contained, or the enclosure in which it isn't contained. So therefore, in order to put the aron in, with the revach, both above it, you know, and easily slide it in, therefore you have an amma wide, you have 7 tefachim high, which leaves some sort of gap above it, a tefach above it, in order that you have a poteach tefach, which makes an ohel by itself, and the Rashbam claims will block the tumah from rising above that area, because once you have an ohel is both also blocks the tuma. And if you have an ohel that is over tuma, and if one is above that tuma, then they are not tamei because the ohel is chutzeitz. It blocks the tuma from rising into that location. So the Ashram claims that the need of the space for these catacombs is that there's a depth of 4 amot, 3 amot for the person, a little more space for the aron itself. Also give width for the aron and above it to give empty space so that you have a poteach tefach, you have an ohel that won't allow the tuma to rise. Now there, one issue, Tosos takes issue with the Rashbam here, he takes issue in Pesachim also. Tosos says that a person is not 3 amot high, a person, the Gemara says, is 3 amot up to his shoulders. Only up to his shoulders is he 3 amot high, but above that he has his head. So Tosos believes that a person is in most cases, right? So in the 4 amot high, he thinks that a person is nearly 4 amot high. Not 3 amot, but rather 4 amot high. And then a little extra was for the wall of the Aron, a small place for the wall of the Aron over there. Now, so the problem Tosos has when he has to deal with another place is, for instance, like mikveh. That's where he deals with it in Psachim, in the 10th parak in Psachim. The Gemara gives the mikvah in other places that's ama al ama from shalosh amot. And the mikvah is an ama by 3 amot high. Now, how can you fit a person into that if they are 4 amot high? So Tosfos over there deals with the fact that a person can bend his head over, he can crouch down. I mean, that there are ways to get a person in without he doesn't have to be sprawled out. But here, where a person is not going to be bent, they're going to be mushkav, they're going to be laid out, then here you need a 4 amot. The same thing with the width. He says that you have to be an amah wide because a person's rochav is not exactly, it's not going to be exactly an amah wide because we know the mikvah is amah by amah. That means that in order for a person to get in to a mikvah, if it was exactly an amah, he wouldn't be able to fit in. So it's obviously a person slightly narrower than that.
Because especially if he has
to bend. Right. He needs some space.
What was the allowance for?
That's what the Rashi thinks. There's a big allowance for the Aron. And the Tosfos says it's a minimal amount for the Aron. That's one issue. The other issue that Tosfos deals with, it's a little more complex. It's an issue of Tuma Olah V'Bukat V'Olah. This idea that the Tosfos here discusses about the fact whether this Tefach, it seems to be that the Poteach Tefach is in the Aron itself. That there's a gap. They make the Aron big enough so that the actual gapping and the spacing is in the Aron. So Tosfos talks about the fact of whether that really protects from Tuma or not, and whether that actually spreads the Tuma. So he says, Tosfos says over here that midar oraisa it might protect against Tuma, but midar abonon, there is a dindar abonon, that any kever above the kever is mitameh. And those areas, because otu, when there is no poteach tefach, therefore we're mitameh those areas. So Tosfos always talks about the fact that maybe it's actually detrimental. It's a possibility it's detrimental to have a boteach tefach, because boteach tefach spreads the tumah over the whole area of the ohel, versus if you didn't have a boteach tefach, then it would be just straight up. Wherever the tumah is, it would go straight up. So maybe it's even worse to have a boteach tefach on top of it, that'll actually spread the tumah further, midir abonon, and it doesn't reject that idea. But it talks about this issue of protecting from tumah, and whether it really is valuable or not to have a boteach tefach above the mace. Now, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says that Oseh tochasho ma'ara sheish amot o shmona. Right, so that the shmona amot. So that you basically have the ma'ara, as opposed to before the Tanakamu said it was 4 by 6. Right, Rabbi Shimon has it by 6 by 8. All right, so he has a larger ma'ara that's associated with them. But so because of that, ubuteach le tocho shloshesre kuch. He can open into it 13 catacombs. Arba'a mikan. 4 on each side. So this is the second picture in the Rashbam. You can see that's 4 on each side. Roshlosha mikenegdan, 3 on the opposite wall. Ve'achid min ha'petach ve'achad min ha'smol. 1 on the right side of the door and 1 on the left side of the door. What this means is subject to both the Gemara has to deal with and then subject to Machlokas Rishonim, what that means. One on the left and the right of the door. I'll leave that for right now. We'll come back and we'll discuss it. Right, so now, the basic premise of the layout here is that a kuch is an amma wide. If the kuch is an amma wide, we also want to leave an amma between each kuch. You have to have solid wall between each kuch, because otherwise the whole thing will collapse. So if you take a wall, for instance, in the case of the Tanakama, we have a mi'ara, which is 4 amot wide by 6 amot deep. So in a wall that is 6 amot deep, you can fit 3 kuchin. You fit each kuch is an amma, plus you have a kuch, an amma in between. So that takes up 5 amot on the wall. And then in each edge, you leave a half an amma. Why do you leave a half an amma on the other in each wall? Because you're going to have the corner, and there'll be a half amma on the next side as well. So if you look in the picture in the Rashbam, you can see that first picture in the Rashbam. So if you look at the three, you start from the chatzer there. We'll talk about the chatzer. You have a half amma. Then you have an amma wide of a catacomb. Then you have 1 amma space. An amma of a catacomb. An amma space. An amma of a catacomb. Then you have a half amma. You turn the corner, you have another half amma. Then you have a amma of a catacomb, amma space in between, amma of a catacomb, then you have a half amma, that'll make up the 4 amot of that side. You turn again, you turn the corner, you have a half amma, and then you do the same thing along this side, which is you have another, right, amma of a kuch, amma of space, amma kuch, amma space, amma of a kuch, and then a half amma. So that's how you get it, and with Rabbi Shimon, because he has 6 amot, and he has a 6 by 8, instead of a 4 by 6, he's able to add in an additional kuch. The additional 2 amot allow him an additional kuch, which means 1 amma of a catacomb plus the amma space in between. So that's what it allows, according to Rabbi according to Rabbi Shimon. And on the opposite wall, you can fit three instead of two, again, because he has two additional amot that allows him to add an additional koch and a space in between. The actual two additional ones that he talks about by the door, those are controversial, and where they fit, that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. So I'm not going to do it now. We'll go through it when we do the Gemara, and then how the Rabbi Shimon explain it, where those actually are. So now, in addition to this, right, so they have machlokas between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Shimon, how big the Me'arai is. Tana Kama says 4x6. Shimon says 6x8. Tana Kama says you fit 8 kuchin, 8 catacombs in there. Rabbi Shimon says you fit 13 catacombs. This is the standard grave. And if someone is contracted to build a grave, they'll have to do this. Or if someone purchases a grave, this is what they expect to find, or a burial place. This is what they expect to find. Now, in addition to this, there is more. There's actually a chatzer that sits in front of the cave. Shesh al shesh kmlo mita v'kovra. There's a chatzer, you can see it in both the pictures here in the Rashbam, a 6x6 chatzer that sits in front of the cave in order to allow for the mita, right? I mean, here the one is being married, v'kovra, and those that are the pallbearers that are coming along, to get in there. Now, that cave of chatzer, 6x6, is not, what you're going to have to look at is you have a chatzer that is below ground level. It is not at ground level, it's actually below ground level, but it's not as deep as the caves. So from that chatzer, you're going to have a decline into the caves themselves. We'll see that.
From the ground, into the
chatzer. Into the caves, that is correct. So that both because the Gemara in different places seems to indicate the chatzer is below ground, and also it makes sense because you wouldn't want to have such a steep decline into the right Me'arot if it was at ground level. Right, they do have stairs. Many of the places, if you go to Beit Guvrim, and other places have stairs down. Others have a ramp or a decline down. If you look at pictures, I think from Beit Sharim, I think has actually a decline ramp down into the area where the burial caves are. So either way, it moves down, and you're going to see why that's important in the Gemara. But you have this chatzer. Now, in the chatzer, according to the Tanakam, according to the Chachamim, the chatzer, now I'm going to expand on this. We'll say chatzer, api ma'ra, shesh al shesh, kumlo amita bekovra, upotech l'tocha shtei ma'arot, chat mikan v'chat mikan. Right, so according to the Chachamim, you have this chatzer, and out of the chatzer you have two caves that come off of it. A standard grave is going to have a chatzer with two me'arot, a me'ara on each side. So then each me'ara on each side will be 4x6. Right, so that's the picture, what's pictured here in the Rashbam. The first picture in the Rashbam is a chatzer, vav. Off of that is two caves, each 4x6, and a 4x6 cave can contain 8 kuchin, right, 8 catacombs. So you end up with 16 catacombs. That would be what we call a standard kever. If someone purchased a kever, that's what they expect to find. If someone hires, contracts someone to build a kever, that's what they expect to find according to the Chachamim. Shimon Omer, no. Arba la arba ruchota. Now, off this chatzer, you can actually have 4 caves. There should be 4 caves located off of this chatzer, arba ruchota. And that would allow you to have 4 caves of 6x8. Each cave containing 13, right, kuchin, 13 catacombs. And so you'd have a total of, right, 52 catacombs in this, in these caves over here. And those 52 catacombs are what you expect to find when someone buys a kever, when they ask the contract to have a kever, they find they get a chatzer with 4 directions. They will have me'arot of 6x8 that contain 13 kuchim according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Kol Fi Asela. Shimon Gamliel says, listen, you can't give a standard like this. Depends what you're digging into. There is a difference between digging into limestone and digging into bedrock. Now, both from a perspective of how difficult, but also from a perspective of how strong the walls are. In limestone, right, how thick the walls have to be between each catacomb will depend on the type of rock that you're doing. In bedrock, you know, you can leave smaller walls or smaller spaces between them. In limestone, you have to leave much more solid walls, otherwise the entire cave will collapse on you. So he says, how can you make a standard when we don't know what you're digging into? Right? If you're digging into soft ground or you're digging into, you know, fill, we've got landfill and sorts of, but here, dirt fill. And each of these items will make a difference about how wide each can be and how deep they have to be. So he says you can't give such a standard. You'd have to be determined by location and by the type of rock. So now the Gemara wants to know, Hani Trei, these Trei, meaning the two that Rabbi Shimon has by the doorway. Right? Rabbi Shimon has two by the doorway. So when he has these two by the doorway, Lehecha Shadiluhu, where do those go? Right, so now, if you ignore the Rashbam's picture, you have the Rashbam's picture over here, but if you ignore the Rashbam's picture where there's two spokes coming out at the top, right, we know where the 4 on each side go, we know where the 3 on the opposite wall go, But they said that there's one on the right side of the door and one on the left side of the door. Now, if you had to put something on the right side of the door and the left side of the door, they would end up inside the chatzer. Right? I mean, if you had to dig back in from the cave out to make a catacomb, they'd be sticking into the chatzer. So Mara wants to know, where do they go? See, ilavrai, right? If you say they extend into the chatzer, how come it dashiluhu? People are going to walk on top of them, meaning that you're going to walk over it. Vitu, and more important than that, is hatznan, chatzer akever, ome betocho tahor. If you're in the chatzer akever, you're tahor, because nothing is buried there. You're not over any mace when you're inside the chatzer. So if that's the case, how could you have a mace that's protruding into the chatzer? Because if you have a mace protruding into the chatzer, you wouldn't be tahor if you were standing over the chatzer. So the two problems the Gemara faces, one is the fact that when you're in the chatzer, you're tahor. So that wouldn't allow for a projection of a catacomb into the chatzer itself. And number two is that you'd be walking on top of it. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, by definition, to get to the chatzer, you're going to have to walk on top of a grave. Because he has four me'arot, he has four caves that are extended in each direction. So the only way to get there is to walk over some sort of a catacomb to get there. But that, as the Rashbam explains, is only the fisha'ah. That's something where a person passes quickly. They're just going over quickly with the mace. They're carrying the mace in there and they're passing very quickly. In the chatzer, they stand for a longer time. You know, they actually prepare the mace, they get ready, they, you know, load it. There's more time spent in the chatzer. So it would be inappropriate in the chatzer to have a catacomb coming up, because there, the pallbearers are carrying the maron, spend more time. There might be some the other, you know, whether they did some more eulogies, some crying, whatever they did over the, in the chatzer itself was more extensive, and they spend more time there. If that's the case, it would be inappropriate, even according to Rabbi Shimon, to have them on top of a catacomb versus, you know, on the outside where they just pass over a catacomb. So for those two reasons, it can't be the explanation when Rabbi Shimon says one on the right side of the door, one on the left side of the door, that they're projecting back into the chatzer. So what's the answer? So, alright, so I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, David Lekim in Nagar. He made it like a lock. So what does that mean? Right, that a, what does it mean that he makes it into a lock? Right, he makes it into a lock in the sense that they make a lock in their day where you put the key in and then you reach down. It went down. So basically what he's suggesting is having the mace be standing. Like equivalent of like a mummy, right, an Egyptian mummy that is, you know, in the upright position. So on the two sides of the door, you're going to have some sort of, right, some sort of catacomb, but a vertical standing catacomb on the sides of the door. So these, there's a Tosus over here discusses, there's a large Tosus over here discusses, well, okay, why does that solve your problem? Because even if you make them vertical catacombs, they still project into the chatzer. Right? If they project into the chatzer, they have to have, I mean, they still are an amma deep. Because we said before that the catacombs are an amma wide and seven tvachim high, right, and a four amot deep, so they have to project in.
They have to be standing vertically if it's only seven
tvachim
high.
No, they move the whole catacomb. The catacomb is four amot high, and now it's going to be an amot deep. The whole catacomb is going to be rotated, right, in that way. So that then you'll have a four tvachim high catacomb, but it also extends seven tvachim into the chatzer, or at least partially into the chatzer. It's a pretty deep. Right? Wow. Four amot high, I'm sorry, four amot high, right? And then it'll have a depth that is seven tefachim, which should project into the chatzer itself. So that's number one problem. And the number two is that if you do it on four walls, they'll actually start bumping into each other. So how do you set it up? So this tosus over here, there's a large tosus, I don't want to spend so much time on it, but he goes through, remember when he says that, that little projection, it doesn't make such a difference. People don't hang out by the sides of the walls of the chatzer, so maybe that's okay. And number two is he says, if you actually move each catacomb a half amma off the wall, what he shows here is a picture of them is that you move each one side is flush with the wall, and the other side is an amma off the wall, or a half amma off the wall. So if you do that, they actually will never touch, because you'll have each one next to the door. Each one will be flush against the wall, right, will project out, and then you'll have the other one that's backed out, right, from the wall, an amma, so that he won't touch. And then the other wall, each second catacomb, you have two on each next to each door. You have one of them will be flush with the wall, all the way against the wall, and one of them will be an amma off the wall. So if you do that, as you rotate around, then none of them will touch. So that's a Tosos suggestion of how to get around that problem. The other thing that he discusses is how wide is the door into these caves. Now, for these catacombs, using up an amma wide and amma wide, that's two amot gone. So now you're only left with a door that is two amot wide, which is a pretty narrow door in order to get the mason and to get in people in with two amot wide. So because of that, Tosfos discusses over here other possible solutions of it being that the door is actually 2.5 amot wide. Right? So they says that the chol patuach petach is well above 2.5 wide. And otu should be amin. The catacomb that's standing on the right side is rachok ama mikaren zavit, is an ama off the wall. Ubesmol chatzi ama, and the other one is off a half ama. V'cheni ra'le'ri. So that's how the Ri explains it. So the doorway is 2.5 amot wide. You have a catacomb right next to it, right? That's at a right, and then that is right on the is an ama off the wall, and you have another one on the left side that is a chatzi ama off the wall. Now you have, because of that, you have Rabbi Shimon. We're talking about Rabbi Shimon over here. Rabbi Shimon has a chatzir that's 6 amot wide coming to a me'arah that is 6 amot wide. So if I take 2.5 amot for the doorway out of the 6 amot, then I take up an amma each for each of the two standing catacombs, right? I'm up to 4.5 amot. So the amma and a half that I have left, right? One amma pushes one catacomb away from the wall, an amma. The other one pushes the other catacomb half an amma away from the wall. And that's how he comes up with a solution that he seems to finally be, the Ri seems to be happy with, of allowing for a wide enough doorway, two catacombs that won't bump into each other as you go through the four different caves, in order to solve all these problems. That's what Tosfos discusses over here. Now, so why not? Is that a problem? So the problem says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says, that kvurat chamorim hizu. This is the way you bury a donkey. Standing up is an inappropriate burial. You don't stand people up vertically. That's not a Jewish burial. A Jewish burial would be where lishkav, you lay them down, that's a proper kvodah meis. That one standing up is like when you throw a donkey into a pit. That's how you do it. You throw someone in and they're standing up still. That's an inappropriate type of burial. So when it says, okay, the Rabbi Yochanan, so what are you going to do with Rabbi Yochanan? So the avidlo b'keren zavit. He does them in the corners. So now, aren't they going to bump into each other? So aren't the catacombs going to bump into each other? Amar Ravashi b'mamik, that they went deeper. All right, now, the problem here with the Gemara is this solution here, is what is the solution? When we say you're going to do it in a Keren Zavit, what's the answer that they do them in a Keren Zavit? So the Rashbam brings down two interpretations, right? One of them is, right, and the, you can see this in the Tosfos brings the, one of those interpretations down. When you put it into Keren Zavit, means by the doorways. In the doorways, you put them in a Keren Zavit, into the corners by the doorways. Now, the if you put them into the corners in the doorways, like if you go back to the picture in the Rashbam over here, where you have four caves going around, and instead of putting them right up against the doorways, you actually dig caves into the angle, the left and right angles, on an angle out from there at that doorway into the right into the sides there, what are you going to happen? They're going to end up in the next Me'arah. They're not going to be... How do you dig a catacomb that goes right into the next Demara? So that's the problem with this. So Gemara says, no problem. What? Ma'amik. So what does ma'amik mean? That all the caves are on different levels. Each cave is... They're not... The depth of each cave is actually different. So if you make the cave's depths different, then when you project something out from the corner, right, then it won't land in the other cave. It'll be below the other cave or above the other cave. That's a possibility that they suggested over here. The Rashbam does not like this. He does not agree. He says that that wouldn't... He says, V'lo Nehira. He says, it doesn't make sense to me, that explanation, because the... I mean, he has problems with actually how much space you're going to take up in the corners and what's going to work. So the Rashbam's solution, which is actually the solution that you see on the other page, is that when it says B'keren Zavit, Keren Zavit means in the corners... Right? The opposite corners. The corners opposite the walls. Right? The two opposites. If you go back to the picture in the Rishbam on the previous Amud, that Rabbi Shimon believes that it's the two projectiles that are coming out, those two angled pieces on the opposite side. So once you have that, right, you don't have a problem of bumping into the other caves. So that's, if that's the way you explain it, they do it. Kamen Zivim Mamash Machurei HaMe'arah, on the back end of the Me'arah, Lo Tzad HaPetach. Right, that he says opposite the petach. So then the Gemara says, well, v'hakanagi kuchin. Right, the problem with this is, and the question now of the Gemara is not, right, about that it's going to the other cave, but rather, if you look at the mouth of those pieces here, you can look here in the Gemara over here on the left side, he's showing you that those two projectiles on the angle, now the mouth of those kuchin actually bump into the other two kuchin that are there. At the corners already, we have two kuchin. each kuch is half a mile away from the wall. Now, if you're going to dig an amma wide kuch into that corner, then you're actually, the walls at the end are actually all going to meet. You're going to actually weaken that whole area and have no spacing between them. So if you do that, you're going to weaken the whole structure in that corner. So how could that be? Vanagi lekanagi. They're going to touch each other over there. The beginning of the kuchim will touch each other over there. So what's the answer? The answer to the Gemara is what? Echidavilu. So what does he do? That they el b'mamik. They're on different levels. Meaning that in the corner, you'll have the two that go vertically, the two that go lengthwise and on the width of the cape, plus the one on the angle. But the one on the angle is not the same level as the two that are going out. It goes down into an angle. Right now, why does the Rashbam prefer this solution? Because if you do it the other way around with the Mamik, you're actually going to have a catacomb, right? If you put it into that angle, that will actually project into the other cave. And when it projects into the other cave, that means people are going to be walking on these catacombs in the other caves. And if you do it on the angle by the doorway that projects in, or if you do it somehow by near the doorway or underneath the chatzir, then you're not going to solve your problems because you're going to be walking on top of these catacombs because it's going to project into the other areas. Plus, right, it's going to be too close to the one that's on that wall there. It's going to be too close to the one on the wall. So if you're suggesting that the mamik is to solve the problem of projecting into the other cave, but you need the mamik really to solve the problem of why it's too close to the mouth of the other kuch. So Rashi says he thinks that it's on the opposite walls, those two. Now the Gemara says, I'll tell you how I know that this idea of mamik or changing levels is useful or necessary here in the caves, because why not? Because what's the problem? So the problem is, if you don't say this, how could you ever have four caves according to Rabbi Shimon? And that is pictured on the previous page. You can see that, right, the earlier kuchim, the first two kuchim overlap. And each cave, the first two kuchim overlap with the two kuchim in the other cave. So how do you solve that problem? Right, Ella b'mamik. If they're on different levels, meaning that, but here you don't have to have the way this solution, based on this solution, you don't have to have the actual me'arot b'mamik. But it's simply the kuchim themselves aren't different levels. So it's a much easier solution. Rather than saying that the marot are all on different levels to solve this problem, rather you say what? Along the walls, right, of the caves, the mamik helps you out. If you do one side high and one side low, they will, yes, cross, but they will never touch. So you won't have a problem. As opposed to the other solution, which if you suggest that they're right by the doorway on the Keren Zavit, and they're going to project into the other ma'arah, you actually have to have the whole ma'arah be below, right, the level of the other ma'arah. Right, so the Rashbam brings before that the Tosefta says that the Marot are four amot high. Right, the Marot are four amot high. It would make sense that they have to be high enough for a person to walk in. Right, so if they say, right, four amot, it's not so high, but it's a decent amount that if you had to go into the other Marah, you'd have to lower the other Marah by an additional four amot to ensure that it wasn't crossing over even more, you know. So that's a lot of extra work for the Marot. So the Rashbam doesn't like that so much. He says, no, that if it's on the opposite walls, then Mamik and Maleh is much easier now because it's simply on the wall. If you're higher and lower on the wall, you can have them not touch each other. They can, you know, you can have the two caves not touch each other, those two corner pieces, and the two zaviot, they'll be at different levels. They will not touch the openings of the, and will not hurt the integrity of the wall when they go in. When the ones that go in an angle will be on a different level than the two that are coming in at the corners. So that's the Rashbam's reading of the Gemara, right? Obviously, as he brings the other reading of the Gemara, which he rejects over here. Now, the Gemara suggests that maybe there's another solution. Ravuna Bereid Yeshua Amar Arba Me'arot Rabbi Shimon Davidu Ha'chi. You could do it like this, kecheruta. You make him into a cheruta. A cheruta is a palm branch. Right, a palm branch. A palm branch, you take a luvav that's opened up, like a palm branch that's opened up, that you should, all the leaves head out on an angle, right? So that's a suggestion over here. If you look at the picture, you can see it in the Rashbam, the third picture in the Rashbam over here, that if you line the wall, all the kuchim will be on an angle. So there you don't have a problem. They won't overlap because they're all on an angle. And the Gemara right says, Michte, wait, let's check this math over here. This math doesn't seem to be so straight. Why? Amta b'ribua, amta b'cheichum shebal chsona. If you have a triangle, right, if you have a isosceles triangle where two sides are an amma, then the hypotenuse will be an amma and, right, will be amta b'cheichum she. Be an amma and two fifths, basically, which is the square root of two. Right? The square root of 2, which is about 1.4, is pretty close, not so bad. 1.4 would be the hypotenuse. So now let's look. The caves, how long are the two walls of the caves? We know the cave walls are, right? They are 8 amot deep. Right? They're 8 amot deep. They're 6 by 8 the caves. So now you're talking about a triangle that has two walls, the two right angle walls are 8 amot. And now the hypotenuse. What's the hypotenuse based on this thesis? It's 1 and 2 fifths times 8. 1 and 2 fifths times 8 is what? 8 plus 16 fifths, which is basically 11 and a fifth. Right? 11 and a fifth. So now you have a hypotenuse that's an 11 and a fifth long. That's what you would have. Right? 8 amot by 8 amot. If you drew the hypotenuse line, it would be 11 and a fifth long. That's what the Gemara is about to say. So it says, Kama avilu. What is the hypotenuse? Chatzere v'chumsha. You have 11 and 1 fifth. So kuchim kama havu. Each kuch, let's look at them. Each one is tamya. Right? You want to put in there 8 kuchin. Right? Tamya b'chad sarei v'chumsha eichem ishkachala. How could you fit 8 kuchin in there? Why? Each kuch is a amma wide and needs an amma space between them. So if I do that already, at 8 kuchin, you're out of space. There's no way you can do it. But his solution is to avoid the high and low. That's the whole point. Rabbi Yeshua said, well, we don't need this high and low thing. We could just do this on an angle. But he's showing us that the hypotenuse line, right, is, hypotenuse line is only 11 and a fifth. And how deep are the kuchim? The kuchim are 4 amot deep. So all the kuchim would hit the hypotenuse line, right, because of the depth. All of them would hit the hypotenuse line. If you have 8 kuchim all hitting the hypotenuse line, that means that you have 8 amot already along the line, plus you need an amma between them, which should be at least 15 amot. You need at least 15 amot to get 8 in there. So there's no way in the space that he's suggesting, if you put them on an angle, are you ever going to get in that many kuchin? So Gemara says, well, it must be. It's a joke. I mean, it's inexplicable. You can't explain this. It doesn't work. I mean, it was a nice try. Right, but the Gemara concludes that either of Yeshua or Yeshua Brutei was a joke, it was not correct, because if you do the calculation of the triangle and the hypotenuse, which you get 11 and a fifth, at 11 and a fifth you can't fit in 8 kuchim. The others that suggest the solution, so this is a third solution to the problem of the corners of the Me'arot, which is Gadamar of Shisha Brei Ravidi b'Nefile. Achanami b'Nefile. You're talking about Nefilin. So what are Nefilin? Nefilin are, right, are the fetus miscarriages. So what they did, and this you see actually in Beit Guvrim and other places you do see this, is that there are actually shorter kuchin, shorter catacombs. So what they would do is in the corners, on the first two kuchin that they went in, would be smaller kuchin. Smaller kuchin for nefile, for miscarriages, for fetuses, or even, I mean, it could even be used for chas v'shalom children, right? But in that you don't need, every catacomb doesn't need to be, right, 4 amot deep. So what they would have in the Ma'ara, those that overlapped here in the picture, they would have those that are the first two at each side, would actually not be a full 4 amot deep, they'd be shorter kuchin. And by being shorter kuchin, they wouldn't bump into each other and it'd still be useful. And then you don't have this whole problem of mamik and, right, the ma'aleh, that you don't have to have different heights now. And the same could be true in the corners as well. You could suggest that in the corners, when you go on the angles into the corners, that it's also for a nefile. If you use them for nefile, that could also be a solution over here, which is that you don't have to worry about them being an amma wide. They could be narrower because we're talking about nefili. If they're nefili, they could actually be, you know, less wide. The width could be narrower. And if they're narrower, then you could even put them in the corners without being mamik or maleh. Meaning that this solution of file could be a solution both for here, but the Gemara is only suggesting over here, it's a solution for the ones by the doors, to the sides of the, on the sides, that they don't overlap, but it could also be the solution to the ones by the doors and the angle. And where do they fit? So it could be that those are also nefile. And that if they're nefile also, it makes it that you don't have to do this maleh morid, you don't have to do this mamik, that you change the depths in order to adjust for all the different kuchim that are coming out of the caves of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so we'll stop over here.